What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, check wiki, wiki. It.
What up, what up, what up? This is your boy, DJ...
Oh, we're DJs today.
No, huh? I was just trying to do the Noah Kagan thing. Doesn't he always call himself like DJ White Rabbit or something?
Something.
I don't know.
He has like a new name. We're not that creative.
No, we're not that creative. So today... On the Hustle and Flowchart podcast, my name is Matt Wolf. This is Joe Fear, by the way. And we're also brought to you by evergreenprofits.com.
Oh, wow. We're fancy, huh? We have presented by it and stuff.
Today, we're talking to one of Joe's clients, actually, Mrs. Chrissy Whitman. And I'll let you explain what Christy does, because you've worked with her a lot over the years.
That was very formal of you. She's been a client of mine kind of prior to Evergreen Profits and all this, but for probably the last, I don't know, like five, six years. And this is back in the day when I was doing a lot of the video work, sales video, all this launch video stuff for people's online programs. And she was kind of one of those recurring clients that is always launching something new. She's got a massive following. She's been all over the media as well. You know, she's been all over the Today Show and all that kind of stuff. And basically, she just breaks down everything into very simple pieces for you to understand the abundance mindset. And it's something that holds pretty much everyone back in some factor of their life, some way. So basically this discussion, we're just breaking that down with some real life stories from her, from Matt, from me. She even starts to coach Matt a little bit. It's kind of fun. So it's really cool. Christy's also got a new book coming out that you'll hear about in this. And that's about it. But she's awesome. And we finally had her on the show, and let's get into it.
Yeah, you don't actually know this. This is the second time she's been on the show, but this is the first time we've actually aired her on the show. We'll talk about that in a second, actually. let's dive in, and you'll hear all about that.
Hey, Christy, thanks for coming back on the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm so glad to be back with you guys.
Yeah, and actually the first one, I think we had that dreaded, I think we lost the episode. Is that what it was? Matt?
I think that's what happened.
That's what happened, so you're gracious enough
to come
back.
When we do our podcast, we actually do batch recordings of the podcast where we record four or five episodes all in a single day. The good thing about it is we only focus on the podcast about once a month. The bad thing is if you have tech issues, you could end up losing like a whole day's worth of recording. And that actually happened in that one day. We actually lost four interviews in one day, which really sucked.
But we have better systems now. We'll just say that.
Yes, we're using different tools, and we've got like five different redundancies now to make sure we never lose recordings.
Wow, it sounds like you guys are having a human experience.
I know, right?
Learning and growing. And
yeah, it's one of those things. But enough about that. So you and I
yes,
have been working.
Me. Make it all about me.
I know you.
you. <Shoot. laughs> You know that movie, Meet the Parents, where once his face is like does the thing with his eyes where he's like, look, I see you, I've got you.
I got you. Yeah, you're right.
Robert
there.
De Niro.
Yeah. He's got that stare. Yeah, it's just oof. I know you and I, we worked together for many, many years now doing a whole bunch of different cool projects.
Joe, you're awesome.
Hey, that's all about me.
He's cool. Who I go to for any PowerPoints or any stuff that I need, slide decks. You are the man. You're awesome. Like you're timely. Like your business is like really buttoned up, and I love the creative work. So I recommend you highly.
I love it when we get that kind of stuff on recording.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Isn't that the best?
Thank you so much.
You're free to use that.
I will. It's just been really cool because over the years, you and I have, I've like learned all of your, I mean, there's been so many abundance related things that you put out there, products, books, whatnot. But just through that, just working with you, I've learned so much, picked it up over the years. But I guess give us a background of kind of your backstory, where you started, you know, and kind of what you morphed into nowadays and teaching everybody that you have.
Oh, that question.
It's a loaded question, I know. Apologize.
No, it's funny. I don't know how to describe my life back then. It was just, you know, was not happy. Took, you know, most people look at things like, oh, money and career and, you know, do you have a boyfriend or a husband or, you know, do you have a diamond? How big's your diamond? Like, this is the world I came from, right?
Yeah.
And how much money do you make? And, you know, what have you accomplished? What have you achieved? And I'm grateful for that experience, but back then it just was, I thought that if I had all those things, I would be happy. And I got all those things at a very young age in my 20s. So I was very blessed to find this out early on. Like none of that stuff makes you happy. None of it. Like none of that stuff made me happy. But yet when you're fulfilled from the inside out, excuse me, having money and having choices and having a career and all that kind of stuff, it's a totally different way of life.
Yeah.
So I was coming from the outside in trying to make, you know, these things do something for me in a way that was filling up some kind of void, and nothing would ever be enough. But now it's coming from fulfillment from the inside out, and just things are magnetized to that flow and that energy. Mm-hmm. So, I love my life, and back then I did not like it.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, you just said, yeah, the whole flip from the inside to the outside in, yeah. Or, you know, or it's going through that flip. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some, you know, some horrible things that have happened, some great things, and you're just like, aha moments.
Oh, the flip sucked.
Yeah.
No, let's be real. The flip sucked.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, you got to, what, got to be grateful for that flip, you know, whatever totally. That is in your life, you know, so.
I am now yeah. that I'm over it. Hell it wasn't yeah. fun going through it, but, you know.
Yeah. So I guess because now, I mean, yeah, you have a husband, you got some couple kids that are great.
I have an amazing husband. That's truly my life partner who just, I'm so blessed and grateful for that man. He's one of the kindest people that I know. Awesome. So I'm just so grateful. And then he is such a true partner in raising our boys. So I have a 7 and an 8-year-old, almost a 9-year-old, mm-hmm. which he's reminding me of, you know, 6 weeks to my birthday, Mom.
Countdown.
But yeah, I have a really thriving, amazing business where, I mean, this for me is a dream. I work from home. You know, I have my choices, like how much I want to travel or how little I want to travel. I could put out 20 books to this month if I needed to or wanted to. Mm-hmm. And someone won't tell me to be less creative than I am. So I get to call the shots in my business. And that feels really good to know that, you know, if I want to take a break and slow down, I can. If I want to speed up and expand, I can. These are all my choices, and I get to morph my business the way I want it. Mm. And I don't have a boss, and I don't have, you know, catty coworkers. I work with people that support me, and just they're awesome, and, you know, truly believe in what I do, and they're loyal and committed, and we're like a family.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, life's pretty awesome. I'm very
good.
Grateful that I found the way, like 20 years ago, you know, when I discovered more talk on, not on universal laws, but on energy.
Well, yeah. So I guess talk about that flip, and maybe not specific, you don't have to go deep into like your personal, but like what came of that? So that, you know, feeling, you know, from the outside in, now to the inside out, but that whole energy abundance feeling, I guess start speaking to that, because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that maybe they have yet to go through that flip, or they're just like, I don't know what the hell to do now, mm-hmm. you know, and get to that point where you're talking.
Okay. So the best way I can, this came to me yesterday. So it's so perfect for this, because I was like, oh my God, that's exactly how it was. All my life in my family, I would look at my mom, my dad, my sister, some of my other relatives, the big people around me, and I would go, they're nuts. That's like, that's rude. That's mean. That's, you know, I would judge based on what they did or who they said. Do you hear that cracking?
I don't, actually.
You don't? Okay, good. I got a little cracking on my side, but no worries. Yep. But I would look at whoever was in my life. This is a really good person, you know, and we make those judgments. And I kept doing that into my adulthood. And excuse me, but I remember looking at my sister, my mom, my dad, and looking at, excuse me, mm-hmm. looking at, I need a sip of water. Sorry.
That's okay.
Ooh. You know, like when you have that moment, maybe you guys didn't, but I look at either one of the three of them and go, where did I come from? Because I don't belong in this family. Mm. Like, I just felt like, who are you people? Right. And then that moment of realizing that the things I used to judge them for, I actually was behaving in that way. Mm. That was a moment of like, ah, oh, damn.
Yeah. So it's like a reflection kind of thing. You're basically just pointing out the flaw, or not, maybe not flaws, but the qualities in yourself and them.
Oh, sucked. And then, you know, to have to accept that and just release it, you know, that it just letting go of all the imprints, all the stuck energy, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that, I guess, what? So you were calling out your family and all the people, and it's like, eh.
No, I mean, and it's funny, like I have a great relationship now and I have for years with my mom and my dad. And that's why they are like just a perfect manifestation of how whatever you hold inside of yourself about anyone, anything, could be money, could be your mom, it could be your dad, doesn't matter. Whatever relation, we have a relationship with everything in this universe, other people, places, things, dogs, and you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And some are bigger strings and more attachment, and some of them are small. Like you don't have that much of an energetic attachment with a flower unless you really sit there and put your energy into it. So obviously your wife or your child, you have a big energetic connection with. And so like your mom and, you know, those people, those relationships begin inside of yourself. So if for me, I was always resentful of my mom. I had a lot of anger for my mom. You know, I always butt heads with my mom. And so for me to heal all those places within me and unhook that energy and, you know, recognize that I'm not my mom and she's not me. And, you know, my relationship with my mom completely flipped too. Wow. She went from literally being just a critical person controlling all the time to like one of my biggest cheerleaders. Wow. I had breakfast with her last week and we were sitting outside and she goes, I just got to tell you, you inspire me so much. I'm so blown away by you. To hear those words out of my mom, because that's not how she used to be with me.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, you know, my parents are getting up in age. My mom's turning 82. My dad's turning 86 and they're alive and kicking and all that stuff, but they're starting to slow down. And I'm just so grateful that I healed my stuff with my parents before they transitioned.
I mean, that's interesting. If, you know, not a lot of people will take ownership or even know that it's possible to take ownership of maybe some resentful feelings or something they feel like is on the outside. But I mean, you totally can control what you're feeling inside and then how that can, you know, affect relationships for the better. So that's, I mean, that's crazy. I know there's a lot of people here that can totally just take that and be like, huh, so what, you know, what can I focus on my life that's maybe like a roadblock right now? You know, something that kind of comes up often. How do I keep butting heads with something or someone?
Well, again, the best way I can describe it is like it's stuck energy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people think like a lot of people think on the level of like law of attraction. If I want a parking spot, let me manifest it or intend it, or let me, you know, put a big vision board and, you know, put all my visions on that thing. You know, those are tools, but it's not really how law of attraction works. So we're attracting from either flow and allowing the energy to flow inside of us and things, or we're getting stuck. And when they're stuck, we start creating from that place because you have stored energy that literally spirals into a vortex. And that vortex starts to build. It creates momentum. And then we have a thought that matches up with that vortex of energy, and then that thought becomes belief and it becomes perspective, and then we see evidence of it and it gets more and more solidified until it becomes so concrete that we can't see past it. But if you release the energy of it, it's like almost like the dominoes, you know, that just fall away.
Right,
the rest of it just falls away once you release that energy. And there's no you know, like some people walk around with huge buttons. Their buttons get pushed, right?
Yeah.
You release the energy after in the button. There's no button anymore.
Right. And that's, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people where it's like you walk, you know, you just like walk slightly around them. Just make sure you don't push that button. Yeah, right. And it's like, I don't like to live that life. That's not fun.
No.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't mention her ex-wife, his ex-wife, you know, or something. And then the person's all, wah, they get wacky. Right? Okay, well, there's some work there.
So where do you like to, like, if you know that someone's kind of stuck right now, and like, what's a good first step or first handful of steps that people could take to, I guess, bring awareness to that first, I would assume is kind of step one. or right around that ballpark, what should they kind of be working on initially?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because there's different levels of, you know, of how to explain it, different places and different consciousness. And some people are just like discovering that, oh my God, wait a minute. I need to take responsibility for my life, and that actually will affect the outcome in my life. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big concept for people. Mm-hmm. And to not play the victim, to, you know, because if we are feeling limited in some way in our lives, we're playing the victim in some way. I'm just going to go out right out and say that we're doing some kind of form of self-pity, some kind of poor me, I just can't, no matter what I do. We're feeling like we're just pushed down by, you know, God or life, or because my parents, or, you know, whatever. We just feel like we're limited in some way. We can't, you know, we are.
Yeah. Well, it's like that victim mentality. I think a lot of people just glaze right over that and blame someone else, or like,
exactly, instead,
some outside influence, you know, you're like, hey, cool, how has that worked for you in the last 20, 50 or whatever, you know? Not cool.
That's funny.
Yeah. Make a change. So, I mean, how can people, I guess, because I think a lot of people with that mentality, it's like they don't think that's them, you know? Like,
right.
Are there
so
indicators?
You're asking me what's the first step?
Yeah.
You have to get to know you.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably age myself, but what Billy Joel has a great song called My Life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the line that he says, either way, you wake up with yourself. So he's describing different situations. So, no matter how much we try to run away from ourselves, escape ourselves, you know, try to busy ourselves so we don't need to slow down faster, go faster. You know, there's always things that we do as human, do drama, create chaos. You know, there's all these things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, where was I going with that? Totally went off. Space.
Yeah, you got all these things. I mean, all the it's I feel like you're kind of describing like the daily grind of someone, you know, and I guess, you know, they might get caught up in some of the negativity, or might get caught up in just that whole victim. It's kind of their old habits, more or less.
Yeah, so they have to know up. Thank you. They have to know themselves, and they have to slow down long enough to hear their thoughts,
mm-hmm,
and pay attention to how they feel. And here's the cool thing about it is that, you know, for years in the personal development, it was all about changing the thoughts and doing affirmations and, you know, and all that,
yeah,
kind of stuff. And those things are tools. Again, they're like a vision board. It's like, the way I look at it is like, we went to kindergarten, we did some arts and crafts, right? It's like, they're important tools in the beginning, but
mm-hmm,
there's other tools that exist,
right,
that really is more. And again, I don't want to say condescending in that, but it's just, it's very, it's a very new person learning, and, mm-hmm, and it's great, right? But there's expansive tools, and getting to the heart of the energy under something, you have to be able to slow down enough to find out, who am I? Like, what, so many people, I'm sure you guys see this all the time, they're not clear on what they want.
Sure. That's like number one. Most people,
yeah,
don't. And it doesn't matter really how successful you are. I feel like there's something that's still stagnant, you know, that,
yeah,
that they're looking for.
They're not clear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just get a clear vision of what you want in all aspects of your life, and really ask yourself, not, oh, okay, so I should have this one. You know, my mom wants me to get married and have kids, so I should do that, you know, so for somebody else, or society tells me I should get married and have kids, or, you know, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the social or kind of stuff we've put imprinted in us, and what we think we should do and ought to and have to and those kind of things. But when you really come to yourself and say, not for anybody else, because this is my life, where would I love to travel? You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do that with my husband, for example. Where would you want to go? And he like will tell me, and I'm like, I wouldn't have never thought of going there, but it's cool because then I get to go there with him. And then, you know, now I'm on this Austria kick. I saw The Sound of Music and I'm like, oh my God, I want to go to Austria. I want to go to Salzburg.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, he's like, ah, whatever, but he gets to go with me. So it's me being creative within myself to share my own preferences, to share my own opinions, to really be who I am, own my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And if something does happen, manifest, right, you can look at it and go, okay, I'm in debt, or I'm having a, you know, money's not flowing in, or clients aren't coming, or I've gained weight, or, you know, my business is struggling, or I can't seem to get it past this glass ceiling, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. whatever stuck situation you find yourself in your life. It's easy to change once you take responsibility that, okay, I created that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And so I would imagine it's probably like take tally, you know, the person, whoever listeners or, you know, whoever gets a hold of this thing is like, take tally of what feels like stuck in your life. Or maybe you just keep hitting that roadblock. Maybe it is money, you know, you just like, you can't get past whatever that, you know, that thing you're at right now, no matter what you do. Could be time or just relationship with people or your health, like you said. Is there like a common, I guess, a couple things that you see most people get stuck on that maybe these listeners can kind of like figure out like, oh yeah, that is me.
Oh yeah. I've been a coach for 15 years and I've
seen it all.
I have the pleasure of putting mm-hmm. thousands and thousands of people through programs, and I have just amazing clients that I just love and cherish. And the things that I see most people struggle with, whether they're clients or just people I see in my life, is money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because even those that have money, a lot of them didn't come from a place of having money. They made their own money. So there's still a lot of energy of fear mm-hmm. that still is imprinted in them. And so even though they have money, they still sit there and worry about it. They're afraid. They now get to be afraid of losing it.
Right.
Or I've seen this with people. It's like they go up, they go down, they go up, they go down, they go up, like in debt, out, in debt, out, in debt, you know, and that's just their way of creating that kind of pattern chaos, because that's what they've always known or seen, or, you know, that was something that they did to, I don't know.
Yeah. It could be a parent kind of thing. It just how they were growing up, you know, is just, or it's maybe it's a way that they just, maybe it's like self-talk.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm really bad with money, or like, oh, I can never hold on to it. So I was like, cool. Well, you just created your reality.
Well, it's definitely interesting, because that's one of the things that I can really, really relate to is, you know, I've had periods in my life where I basically had like no money, and I've had periods in my life where I've had a lot of money. And no matter what the scenario I'm in, I've always had this sort of fear of actually spending money, because I've experienced what it was like to basically have nothing. So when I do get money, I tend to just kind of accumulate it and sit on it and never want to spend it. And that's actually something that still to this day I'm like working on. I have this sort of fear that the money could go real fast and just be gone one day, you know? So okay, definitely so something I relate to a lot.
First of all, I got to tell you this. I'm just sitting, you see, like in a little tuxedo with a little like mustache, and you're twirling it, sitting on a pile of cash in your house. Like, I don't know why that.
No, it's more Scrooge McDuck. I have a vault where I swim in it.
I like it. I like it. It's good.
That's funny.
It's going to be hard to spend if it's like that.
I could work with you. I could work with you, Matt. I don't know if it's appropriate to do on a podcast. But,
I don't know. I think it might be interesting. Maybe not. I don't know. Well, is there something maybe we can, I don't know. I feel like going down that kind of rabbit hole on money, at least, some of the common themes, I think that would be really beneficial.
Yeah, because you have to know, okay, this is just my whole thing on money, right? We need it. We have it in society. Everybody has agreed that this is how we exchange value for something. So it's like, you might as well embrace it. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a bad opinion of it, if you have resistance when you think about it, you got to get yourself clear with it, because money literally did not do anything to you. Money can't do anything. It doesn't have an opinion. It can't backtalk you like kids could. It can't hurt your feelings. Money is just energy. Mm-hmm. And when you can really get that money is green energy, it's, you have a relationship with money. That's the first thing that everybody's got to get clear with, is your own energetic connection with money. If you say things like, well, I can't afford it. You're like, imagine like dollars running away, you know, running away from you, right? There goes the cartoon images again. But when you are in appreciation, you know, like the Bible talks about, I'm not going to get all biblical because I'm not a big Bible mm-hmm. quoter anyway, but there's like a couple things I quote from the Bible. One is, in the beginning, there is the word, because that's huge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this one. So Where was I going with this? I'm off again.
Have you had your coffee today? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I went to a premiere last night and got in at like 1:30 in the morning and had to get up at 5:30 because I do a 6 o'clock meditation class every day.
Oh my God, I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. But
you're talking about the Bible. Yeah, the two things you quote there.
I'm sorry?
The two things you quote in the Bible.
And how they relate to like someone's relationship with money.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Money is the root of all evil, okay? So it says that in the Bible. Thank you for getting me back on track. That feels good. Money is the root of all evil, right? Mm-hmm. And so people think and have twisted that through religion for years and years and years. So spiritual people now think that if you have money, they don't allow themselves to desire things, but because they don't want to want money, because money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard that from some people, and sorry, but like definitely I can relate to that from before I was really kind of, I would say, successful in most people's eyes. Like I definitely heard from people just in their friends circle / just family friends, like, oh yeah, people with money, they're just assholes. They're selfish. They're blah, blah, blah. You know? And I'm just like, man, that's really weird. I've never thought that way,
yeah.
You know, but it's definitely a feeling out there.
Now, isn't the Bible quote, the love of money is the root of all evil?
Exactly. Yeah. They mix it up. It's the love of money. And it's not, it's the love of money in the sense that going and just searching for money without any other like regard for other people or out of integrity, you know, just doing anything for the love and the search for money alone, that's the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
But we could come at it from a way of appreciating what money does for us. So if you had money and you were clear in your, you know, thinking process about money and in your relationship about money, and, you know, one of the biggest imprints that most people have is the religious imprint, especially, you know, I was very Catholic. My parents, you know, still, they're elderly. Mm-hmm. They go to church every single Sunday, every Easter, every Christmas. I mean, it was like, we went, that was a big imprint for me in the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Same with me. I was raised Catholic too. I went to church every Sunday till I was 18 years old.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so like you did first communion and baptism and all that.
Confirmation. Yep.
All confirmation. Of it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that all of that, you have no idea. So, okay. Every Sunday, right. They would say, I am not worthy to receive you. Only say the word and I shall be healed.
Mm-hmm.
One day I went, I'm not worthy to receive you. I'm like, why would I want to keep saying that? That doesn't feel good.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
And I'm like, and Jesus Christ, like this amazing enlightened being, by the way, there was many of them.
Mm-hmm.
People would say, well, yeah, but he's done the most and had the most impact. It doesn't matter. They're enlightened beings that walk now.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's all Christ wanted to teach anyways. I don't know where we're going there in this interview. But
that's okay.
No, but he wanted to teach that we all have this power to manifest what we want. That's literally what Christ wanted. Christ was talking universal laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have the faith of the mountain, or have a faith of the sea. Help me out, Matt.
I don't know all my biblical. I don't remember all of my biblical quotes, so I don't know how much. I've been pretty removed from that world for the past 20 years. So
the faith of a mustard seed. Have the faith of a mustard seed, something like that. So.
Oh wow! Yeah, I don't know any of this.
When you have faith in something, it can manifest, and yeah. So, all right.
I could pretty much recite to you any sort of prayer that was said every single Sunday for 18 years of my life, and that's about the extent of what I remember.
But you know, it was an imprint, right?
Absolutely.
Those are imprints. And so you have to look at everything in life, and you know, when you start to look at life that way, when you start to think about money, it's like, wow. I remember the day I had the aha that I was like, oh my God. I had my mom, as it relates to money and rich people, I don't know why, but she just admired them, really admired them. And she still does, because I think she loves opulence and beauty and loves the finer things in life. Mm-hmm. But she always put people that had a lot of money on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And my dad did very well and gave her a beautiful life, but it was never enough, right? There's that lack.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, on the other hand, would have the same friends. And my mom would be like, oh, they got buku bucks and they're this and they're that. And my dad would be behind their back saying, oh, he's a jerk and, you know, he's got money and rah, 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 rah. It was like all complaining. So me as a loyal daughter to mom and dad, right? Who do I want to be like? There's a choice there because it's so different. Do I want to not like, you know, people that have money, or do I want to like people that have money?
Yep.
And it's a choice point that we don't even realize. And the day that I realized that I had split energy with money, because I was watching how I would get in debt and get out of debt and get in debt and get out of debt. And when I started to have a lot of money, I started to feel really bad. And I started hearing my dad in the back of my head. So then I started spending it and I would get rid of it. And then I get back into debt and that didn't feel good. So then I'd have to work myself. I was always trying to get, I could easily bring it in, but then I was like, I wasn't comfortable having it because of all the programming I had about, you know, people with money are. And for me, I truly believe that, I was just talking to my trainer the other day. He was saying that the club that I belong to, that he said, I've never met the more generous, loving people than members at this gym. And then I've also met the biggest jerks ever at this gym.
Yeah.
And I said, money is just an amplifier.
It's so true. And, yeah, I mean, we've heard that statement before and it's totally true. You could take a total asshole without money and give him a lot of money, or he makes a lot of money and he just becomes a bigger asshole.
Yeah. With more money, he can be an asshole to more people typically.
Exactly. Take advantage of more people.
Exactly.
Or the total, flip coin of that. So now it's interesting. And that's, I don't know.
So when it comes to the abundance mindset, I always feel like there's a difficult sort of like tug and pull sort of thing going on in most people's brains of like, I want to have this abundance mindset, but my bank account doesn't necessarily reflect my mindset. So, you know, I want to go on this vacation, and if I'm in a place of abundance, I should just go spend the money and go on the vacation and not think too much about it. But that means I have to go into debt because I don't have enough money. You know, you kind of see where I'm getting at. Like,
I've lived that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how do you sort of coach into that or help people deal with that kind of thing? Because I think that's a pretty common thing for most people. Is yes, the thinking of abundance sounds amazing, but it's a lot easier said than actually put into practice.
That is, I'm so glad you asked that question, because that waiting period, I just did a show, Quantum Success show, called Waiting is the Hardest Part. And I put in like Tom Petty music in there because waiting is the hardest part.
Yeah.
And you don't know how long you're going to have to wait and what the spectrum is, if it could be a half a day, an hour, 2 days, a year, you know. But what I say to people is that abundance is a feeling. Mm-hmm. Abundance is a thought process. Abundance is a feeling sense of connection. So abundance just, it's a way of being, and it's coming from that energy. And the universe, because it is abundant, it's always going to give us an abundance of something. But most people have an abundance of what they don't want. Hmm. And when you have an abundance of what you don't want, law of polarity, there is a possibility in this spectrum of life that at the polar end of that is the opposite, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's always, like you said, yeah, there's always, it's like a teeter-totter. There's always, it's that balance you're looking for, but you know, if you can have a lot of one thing, you can definitely shift that if you're aware of it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Instead of having a bunch of what you don't want, you get a bunch of what you do want.
Right, right. And I'm sure there's factors. I guess let's talk about like some ways, some like, you know, and maybe some practical, you know, if it's like, okay, we'll get at, maybe it's like an environmental change, or it's a change in the people you're hanging out with. You know, some things that people can kind of like actively do today if they feel like they're stuck right now.
Well, So I'm glad you asked that too, but I wanted to
finish
the other part real quick.
Sure.
So a lot of people think, oh, if I'm going to feel abundant and there's something I want, I should go ahead and, you know, just spend the money or get in debt. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the beginning stages and you don't have your physical reality, meaning, you know, your bank account is in negative or it's just or whatever your current situation is, you don't do anything in the physical world yet, meaning you don't go spend money, don't have, you know, you work or do whatever you need to do. But all of the change is going to come from an energy level. So anytime you find yourself thinking unlimited thoughts, like, oh, I can't have that, change the language to soften it up so that it's like, I'm choosing right now to pay my rent, or that's just not a financial priority right now, or, you know, something that just feels better than telling yourself you can't have it, or that, you know, your situation's bad, or whatever negativity is coming up, that's the opportunity to shift it. And that's one of the reasons I created the Abundance Principle Coaching Program. Cause it's like, it's just, we have to know basic stuff of what is lack, what is a lack mindset look like, and what is an abundance look like, and how you could see how they're two polar opposite ways of being and ways of feeling and ways of thinking. And your physical manifestation will have to catch up with it eventually. And there is a time lapse. Can happen quick, but it depends on how much resistance is between yourself and this thing, how clean your relationship is, or how entangled it is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all about, you know, the wording and the self-talk behind it all. So for like the vacation example, maybe I think to myself, yeah, we're going to do this vacation. It would be an amazing time. We're going to do it, but now is not the right time. Let's kind of put a pin in it and come back to it. That's kind of saying, you know, it's a better way of saying that I don't have the money for it right now, but I'll do it in the future. But, you know, I'm rewording it, so it's coming from more of that place of abundance.
Well, can I give you a real life example of that?
Please.
Okay. So, and it's perfect that you brought that up. So I wanted to go to Paris, and I told my husband, I'm like, oh, I just want this like amazing romantic, you know, week in Paris, just you and I. And I was telling him, I'm like, I just care about three things. First of all, I want to see the Eiffel Tower from my bedroom. I want to go shopping at Chanel, and I want to eat croissants every day. And I'm like, anything else we do is gravy. So he was like, okay. And I said, and I would love for you to organize it for me, because he is French. His first language is French. He's from Montreal. And, you know, so guide me through your eyes through Paris, because he's also been there before. And I, in my mind, because I wanted him to take me on this trip, at the time, he didn't have any money. And so I was supporting the family. I mean, he had money because we are a family.
Right.
But like, he could just pull out, you know, 15 grand or 20 grand or whatever it was going to cost to take this trip. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, inside of me, I was like, see, I was seeing the limitations of that. Like, oh, great. You know, how long is it going to take me, you know, to get there? I'm going to be in my 80s when I finally get there, you know, like just stupid negative talk was coming up. And, it was amazing because I just was like, wait a minute. No, that's, I'm limiting the possibilities. I'm limiting possibilities for him. I'm complete and just blocking myself. So I just let it all go. And I thought, you know, what would feel good? And so I told my husband, I'm like, you know what? I want to go soon. And I know you want to go soon. How about I fully fund the trip and you completely design it? And he's like, that sounds awesome. So he had fun just creating this amazing week. And, you know, we went to castles and ate at the top of the, or at the Eiffel Tower. And I mean, literally saw like a fireworks show outside of our hotel window. And the Eiffel Tower was like, you know,
right.
It was the view of Paris. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I got a video, like there was fireworks and they were in the shape of hearts. And we didn't pick this date. I was doing a speaking engagement in Milan. So this whole thing started because someone contacted me to speak at their event in Milan. I said yes. And then I said to Frederick, I'm like, you know what? We could go to Paris too. And he's like, yeah, we could. So the dates were picked for us. And then the Milan thing fell through. So we figured we're still going to go to Paris. Mm-hmm. We left Montreal, and this was still the, you know, plans. We left Montreal and didn't even know it. It was our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Oh my God. Wow.
And one of the most amazing times of my life. And to start our next 10 years together, it was like, it was so special.
I love it.
So, I mean, you know what I mean? Like sometimes the circumstances don't look like anything's possible, and that's a blockage. Just know that that's not real. The fact that your mind is telling you, it's not possible, I can't do it, I can't have, you know, who am I to, all that stuff. That's just the stuck energy talking. It's not who you really are.
Yeah. And it's just opening up. If you block it, I mean, yeah, that energy is stagnant. Now that opportunity could have passed right in front of you, but you kind of chose to just say, not right now. Like, now's not the time.
Right.
And, I mean, I guess real world example for me was just back in November, my wife Heather and I, we definitely were not preparing to buy a house. We had money stashed away. So if the time came, that's great. But we were saying, that's probably going to be like a few years. San Diego's expensive. We want this specific kind of place. Cool. But, you know, we were constantly open. We didn't say no. We're kind of down for anything. Like, we're very just like, okay, let's, if it's a good plan and it seems to fit, let's do it. And then it wasn't until, I think it was late September, early November last year, house came available, off-market, family friend, right next to her parents' house. Fit all of our criteria, minus the spa, but that's fine. I'll get one day. And, and he gave us like $100,000 off, and it was, he wanted us to buy it. He said, I want someone in the family who knows the whole neighborhood, plus you have, you know, a family you're starting to grow. You guys should live here. And we're like, holy shit. And boom, it happened. And luckily that's we had enough money stashed in the IRAs and, you know, some savings. Just enough to make the down payment, and then we're good to go.
You forgot the best part about the house. It's a mile and a half from my house.
That's sweet.
It's all about you, huh, Matt?
And I do have a spa.
That's true. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, but the whole thing is we never said like, no, it's not going to happen. We didn't move away to like Arkansas where we're like, it's cheap there. We could live there.
Right.
But like, no, we are going to live and buy in San Diego. This is our home. So,
well, you know, what's funny. I love that story. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny when we were in Paris, we decided that we were going to sell our house in Montreal. Cause I think, as you know, we were 6 months and 6 months, 6 months in our house in Scottsdale and then 6 months in Montreal.
Right.
And we decided while we were in Paris that let's let go of the Montreal house. My husband was getting permanent residency in the States. So we decided to come back, and that we came back on a Friday. On Monday morning, he called his friend, our friend in the neighborhood that's a realtor, to give him professional courtesy to let him know that we were going to go with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, give me a minute. He goes, I might have a couple buyers for you. And he goes, do you mind if they come over tonight? We didn't prep the house. I mean, we just got back from a trip. There was luggage, you know. Two different people came, saw the house. And the next day they wanted to come back, which was Halloween. So we were like, no, sorry. Yeah. So they came back on like November 1st, made us an offer that night. So we sold our house, got exactly what we wanted. They even bought some of our furniture, like the whole thing got exactly what we wanted in 6 days without listing it, without putting it on the internet, without having a bunch of people going through our house, without having the kids affected. I mean, boom.
That's so cool.
Not awesome. That's the stuff I'm talking about.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing is it's just like put it out there, have your plan. And I mean, shit, there's a reason why you want something. It's because you actually want it. Don't cut off the ties to the possibilities, you know, even though if it might seem years down the line, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like baby steps, get there.
You know, well, make you know what? You're saying that because it's true. Because several years ago, I was ready to sell our house in Montreal and I wanted a bigger house and I wanted a house in this really beautiful area that had a house on the lake and I wanted to build our house. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't have my own credit, even though I bought the house with them, and long story, I wasn't able to be the main finance person on the loan. So they didn't approve it. And we had already had the plans made and everything. I was devastated. And we tried to put up our house for sale and not one person came and saw the house. So it was like, it's not the right time.
Yeah.
And it's like, we also will create from a place of, you know, like my husband wasn't ready and he admits it now. Cause I said, well, what was the difference between now? It happened so fast and 3 years ago where we couldn't sell our house. And then we weren't able to obviously buy our dream, you know, build our dream house. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I wasn't ready then. He goes, now I know that. But he goes, I had a lot of resistance.
It's cool that you guys could talk about that because I mean, you guys share the same language, you know, this abundance thinking. Cause I think, I mean, for relationships, and I think this is one of your courses as well. Actually I know, but it's like that. I mean, there's just, you have six criteria or not criteria, but like categories. What was it, like health? I mean, you know them all. You could probably say them all.
They're right now there's six courses and, mm-hmm. and soon to be a seventh course. So there's the Abundance Principle Coaching Program that takes you from the, and not just like the mindset, but from the place of consciousness shifting from lack to abundance. Mm-hmm. And it depends how ingrained you are and how many times I have people that go through it over and over and over, and they do it all the time. And each time they go through it, they learn something more and they grow deeper and they let go of more stuff. And so it's a thing that you can do over and over again and get something mm-hmm. Really out of it, because you hear things at a different place than you did the first time. And then the next one is Deliberately Design Your Awesome Future, because all time is simultaneous. When you think about quantum physics, like our past, our present, and our future all exist right now in this moment. Mm. Like you smelled something, it smelled like when you were six, you're going to remember that that memory. Or if you hear a song, right, it takes you back to when you were at the high school dance, or you know, something else triggers us in good ways and in bad ways, and it takes us out of the present. So the more we can detach from the past, from the energetic ties, we are actually more, there's more of us to be present in the moment. And the more we can connect to a future that also exists, that's a future that's pulling us in the highest light possible, consciously choosing where we want to go, instead of choosing or dreaming about or worrying about things that could happen in the future that are bad.
Yeah.
Because that, if you're projecting into the future, worry, fear, whatever it is, it's going to make you feel bad in your now. So all time is simultaneous. And when you can work with your future self, it's like, it's really, it's such an empowerment tool. It's amazing.
Wow.
I take you through each aspect of your life. And again, it's like you could continue to use it as you move and morph, you know, as you change and continue to go deeper and change your visuals. Because I can't tell you how many times in 20 years I've been working with like connecting with to my future self, and I'll like say walk into a room and go, oh my God, like this is exactly how I pictured it.
Yeah.
5 years ago or 2 years ago, you know, and it's like I literally walk into it and my physical reality, it's not just an imagination anymore. You know, it's like I'm opening the door. That happened to the house we have here in Scottsdale.
How cool.
My husband rented us a house when we were living in Montreal full time to come here in Arizona for the winter for just a couple of months. And so every single time we would drive down this road, I would see these houses. I'm like, I want to live there. I want to build a house there. That's the place I want to live. Like I just, every part of me was just like, that's it. That's it right there, right there. And this development is actually two sections. And the bigger section is on a different street. So as you're driving down, it's got like two entrances with gates. And as you drive in, there's a specific gate. So we found this house on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I told my husband I wanted to live in this area, and he found the perfect house for us. And I'm thinking it's in the main section. Mm-hmm. As I came to Arizona to kind of check out the house, you know, while we're in the process, the paperwork and all that, when I drove up in my car and I saw that it was the exact same gate in the exact same area, you know, I remember like, oh my God, how many times did I say that with such, you know, like feeling and conviction, like that's it. Like I could just feel myself there. To have that happen and to have the gate code and see the gate open for me, I'm like, oh my God.
Like goosebumps. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. So, it's like deja vu, you know, you meditate, you have all these cool visuals, you've totally made it a reality. And then you actually happen. You're like, oh, I've been here before. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I created that, you know,
it's totally true.
Speaking of visuals and stuff, do you have any sort of like exercises or processes that you like to walk people through to help sort of shift their mindset and put them in this right place?
Absolutely. You can actually go to my website, and on my website, you put in your name and email, and it's a 7-day meditation process. So I take people, like it's me on video, but you see nature and it's with music and all that. So it's a 20-minute, each video is about 20 minutes, and it's for every single day. And it'll take you through like how to release energy and how to release the blockages. And I mean, that's the best way to, I mean, there's so many processes I have, but that's like the best tool, is that meditation is one of the best things. And a lot of people can't just meditate, and because it's too hard to just like all of a sudden tell your mind to be quiet yeah. when you haven't done any healing work or, you know, that kind of stuff. So what I do is guided meditations. So I'm helping the mind focus on doing something. And at the same time, you're moving energy. So you're actually processing new energy into your body and releasing the blocks.
I didn't even know you had that. Cause cool. I've always done the meditations in those videos that we made together for your programs. You always put a nice, like, you know, I don't know, 10 minute or so meditation in there. And I always did them afterwards cause they were just freaking good. But I didn't know you had those other ones. So I'll have to share those with my wife too.
Cool. Well, and we'll link those up in the show notes for sure.
For sure. And tell us a little bit briefly about your book coming out too, if you want to kind of seed that a little bit.
I'd love to. Yeah. It comes out September 25th and we're actually starting to, do some really amazing, pre-purchase, packages on my website mm-hmm. and it's going to be quantumsuccessbook.com. I'm not sure when this is going out, but it's not out yet. It's yeah. in the process. So May 1st is when we're going to start doing that. But I'm super excited about this because this is Quantum Success is the book title and it's 7 essential laws for a thriving, joyful, prosperous relationship with work and money. Mm. So I just teach people how to, I share with my stories, you know, what I did and because I've had one of the areas I've never done a program in is career. And yet I've certified, you know, almost 3,500 coaches. I have a multi-million-dollar business. I know how to make money. I've healed my own stuff with money. I remember the day that I realized, cause I was doing kind of like the spiritual work on the side, mm-hmm. you know, and the day I thought, you know, these are like principles I could bring into my career and into my, I was a pharmaceutical rep at the time. Mm. I could bring this in and it was amazing. Like this, my success like skyrocketed and I was winning awards in like all of the districts that I was in with all the medication and, just the place that I did work. I had a horrible boss. I always say that she was like Hitler reincarnated in a woman's body. Nothing was enough. She'd tell me to do one thing one day. And then next thing was something else. It was like one of those, like, hey, I'm like a rock, you know, stuck between a rock and a hard place here. So, but, like it was amazing because I was asked to resign at the top of my, you know, I was the number one rep and they asked me to resign. And I was just giggling because I knew that it was that I wasn't a vibrational match for that job.
Yeah.
So I was able to resign. They gave me a huge bonus check. They gave me all my vacation pay. They gave, you know, it kept going. Like jeez. I kept getting checks in the mail and all I would do is just, I just took 3 months of my life off and I would sleep in and go work out. And, you know, when I'd wake up in the morning, I'd meditate and I'd grab my tea and go watch, you know, Mad About You reruns and you know, I just get facials and massages and kind of look for jobs and stuff. And then the next company that hired me, I had 3 medications to sell and they had to start capping the bonuses because I was just killing it. I was number one on all 3 of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, oh, I don't want to be capped. And right when that happened, right, was that was like, okay, can't make any more money. I got recruited to another pharmaceutical company, making more money, less of a territory, a better medication. I mean, it was like, it just kept getting better and better and better. Yeah. So
it's principles. It's all based off those principles. And that's what I think those are the best things you can possibly consume. I mean, anybody, even if you think you're the best of the best, you probably have some principles or reminders that you need, especially with this abundant stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's all connected at the end of the day. So I'm excited to read it once that's come. And I think the episode will be coming out right in time of your website launch. So don't you worry about that.
This episode will be released probably towards the end of May. So your site should be live.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, let's wrap it up here. Is there anything you think that we haven't asked you or maybe most people don't ask you that you'd like to share about abundance? Maybe something that that you just think you're like, oh, this is like the thing that people just need to hear.
Yeah, what's our magic bullet? We need a magic
come
bullet.
Come on.
No pressure.
No. I don't know. There's usually something lingering that you're like, oh, this would be kind of good to just let people know.
Here it is in a nutshell. Here's my, I always say it's the Cliff Note version of it, right? if you feel bad in any aspect of your life, you're in luck. And if you feel good in your other aspects of your life, you are in abundance. But you can't attract abundance from a place of lack. And however you feel on any given subject in your life, whether it's money, like we talked about, or, you know, anything else, other relationships, where you're focused and where you're feeling is what you will continue to attract into your experience. It's law. It's universal law. I didn't make this up. I just came across it, applied it in my life, and learned. I'm just teaching what I know from personal experiences, from coaching thousands of people that were so in just lack and limitation, and their lives showed that in all aspects of their life that I've seen completely change their life around because they shifted from lack to abundance. So if I can do it and they can do it, you can do it. And it seems sometimes when you're under a situation that it's hard to get out from it, but work with your energy first and your own internal feelings first from the inside out instead of the outside in. And you will see evidence of your life starting to change.
I love that.
That's amazing.
I love that. Now, one question that we like to ask everybody on the show is, do you have any, we're going to list all the, we're going to try to list all of your books on our show notes, all the ones that are available right now. Do you have any books that have impacted your life or your business or, you know, just had have major impact on you over the years that you maybe refer back to or you recommend to others frequently?
Yeah, a couple of books that I have that's required reading when someone joins the Quantum Success Coaching Academy. That's my Law of Attraction coaching certification program. One of them is by Sanaa Roman, and it's called Creating Money. That's like, I read that book probably a couple times a year.
I haven't heard of that one.
What was the name of the author again? I didn't catch it.
Sanaa Roman.
Sanaa Roman, okay.
And the other book that I feel like is just the basis of understanding is Abraham Hicks, The Ask and It Is Given.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Awesome. Joe and I were just writing those down. That's why we got quiet.
Yeah, no worries.
Hey, that's always the good stuff right there. And so I know you have a bunch of sites and all. Just list out just really quickly where you want people to go to again one more time as a little call to action.
I will make it so easy for you. ChristyWhitman.com. It's ChristyWhitman, and Whitman is WHITMAN. So ChristyWhitman.com. That's where you'll find the 7 days of the meditations. You'll get my show every Monday. We'll just stay in touch and, you know, I'll let you know how you can play with me on a deeper level.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, thank you, Christy.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you.
All righty. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook and go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learned there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.